We'll hear arguments first this morning in Delaware against Krauss. Mr. Oberle, you may proceed whenever you're ready.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, the case that is presently before this Court for consideration concerns a very narrow question of whether police officers will be permitted to stop motor vehicles for the sole limited purpose to conduct a license and registration check. The facts of this particular case are not in dispute. On November 30th, 1976, an officer of Newcastle County Police Department stopped a motor vehicle in which the respondent, Mr. Krauss, was an occupant. The stop was motivated solely to check for a driver's license and registration of the driver of that vehicle. There was no other wrongdoing or facts indicating suspicion at the time the vehicle was stopped. Upon approaching the vehicle, the officer noticed the smell of marijuana. A subsequent search and arrest ensued in which marijuana was found in the car and on the person of Mr. Krauss. At the trial court, a motion was made to suppress the evidence, which was granted. And the holding was then appealed by the state of Delaware to the Delaware Supreme Court. On January 30th, 1978, the Delaware Supreme Court affirmed the trial court's ruling holding that random stops without articulable facts to justify a reasonable suspicion that there is evidence of wrongdoing are unconstitutional under the Fourth and Fourteenth Amendments. The state of Delaware respectfully disagrees with that holding and sought certiorari in this court. In so ruling, the Delaware Supreme Court specifically recognized that there was a legitimate state interest in the enforcement of its motor vehicle laws. Furthermore, the Delaware Supreme Court noted that it was adopting what it called a rigid invalidity rule. And the state submits that such rigid rules have been eschewed by this court, where they do exact a high toll on the public and where they can frustrate legitimate law enforcement efforts. It's the state's position that the Delaware Supreme Court reading of the 14th and 4th Amendments, a requirement of articulable suspicion, erred in failing to apply the reasonableness test that has been used by this court since Terry and Brignone-Ponce. The reasonableness test to measure police conduct has been applied on numerous instances, and it calls the court to consider the interest of society measured against the individual rights that are involved in a particular case. The test that has been set out calls for the court to weigh the factors of the purpose and the degree of protection, the public perception of the stop or seizure that may be involved in a particular case, and the alternative methods or procedures that would be available to conduct the particular search or stop in an alternative manner. After considering these factors, the expectation of privacy of the individual should be considered, and the intrusiveness of that particular search. It's the state's contention that the Delaware Supreme Court erred in failure to give full consideration to these factors, that had it done so, that the interests of society would clearly have indicated that such stops should have been permitted. Initially, the state would note that there is a legitimate state purpose in determining who has a driver's license and who has proper registration. There is perhaps no area of American life that is more regulated, more subject to rules than the use of the automobile vehicle. When I walk out of this courtroom, I will be affected within seconds by the motor vehicle laws of the District of Columbia. The entire way home will be affected. The state of Delaware and other surrounding states and jurisdictions has a paramount concern as to who can drive, when you can drive, where you can drive, who has insurance and who doesn't have insurance. And it's submitted that this is more than just a minimal state interest. It's a substantial state interest. And I needn't burden...
Police officer asked if the driver had insurance?
In this particular case, no, Your Honor.
He didn't, I know, but would you say, would the state have, would it be permissible for him to inquire of the driver on that subject on a random basis when he's...
Yes, Justice Stevens. In Delaware, a registration cannot be obtained, which is kept inside the car, unless there is insurance. It's stamped on your registration that it is valid. So in order to even get the stamp, you have to have shown that you have insurance. In the interim, if the insurance had expired during that period of time, the state would submit that you would be able to inquire, because Delaware statute does require that all motor vehicle drivers carry a certain minimum amount of insurance for personal liability.
Would he also have the right, I suppose, to ask the man if he'd had a drink within the last hour?
I don't believe that he would have that right unless he had some articulable suspicion to pursue it any further than that. The state is asking for solely a limited right, simply to check whether or not the individual is qualified to drive and whether or not that vehicle is properly registered. It's not asking it to be given permission to go any further than that.
I have a little trouble with the word random. Is that really the word, or do they stop whoever they have some, I hate to use the phrase, gut reaction to stop?
Your Honor, Justice Marshall,
For example, stop every fourth car, that's what I would think would be random.
I think if you use a classic definition of random, that could possibly be correct. The Delaware Supreme Court and the state has used random as just being...
Is there any restriction on who can be stopped?
Not by using the test of Delaware.
Could a police officer stop all Negroes, and would that be all right?
That would certainly not be all right. It's
why?
It would be certainly...
Well, suppose he stopped 20% of them.
If 20% of the drivers in the state of Delaware happen to be Negroes, then I submit
that... Suppose he stopped all women, that would be all right.
I think, Your Honor, is indicating
the possibility... Would that be all right, to stop all women?
No, it would not be.
He can only stop whoever he wants to stop.
That would be correct, Your Honor, that they would be able to stop whomever they want. But, however, if there are objective criteria that came forth...
Well, Terry does not supply that any help for you there at all, does it?
I believe Terry does supply some help there.
Did he stop anybody?
No, but...
I thought this court went to great details in explaining what happened in Terry. That policeman watched Terry for about 3 or 4 hours, didn't he?
Yes, he did, Your Honor.
Well, doesn't random, by definition, mean nothing more than the person is driving a motor vehicle on the highway and that there isn't any other ground for stopping them?
That is the state's contention, yes, Justice Rehnquist. And I would indicate that in Terry, the court did state that it was concerned with the possibility of harassment against either racial minorities or other minorities, and it was contended in the opinion that it's virtually impossible in a futile protest to lay down rigid invalidity rules that can basically...
But in Terry, the policeman watched the man casing the joint.
Yes, he did, and that...
Well,
of course,
was this driver casing any place?
I'm sorry?
What was he doing? He was driving the car. There's nothing illegal in that at all, is there?
That's correct. He was doing nothing more than driving the car at the point he was stopped.
There's nothing illegal in it, in driving the car, if he has a license and if he has insurance.
That's correct.
If he doesn't have a license, then it is illegal, isn't it?
That's correct. This is a threshold.
Your point is that Delaware claims the right to stop any car to see whether he has, number one, the license to drive it, which implies the carrying insurance, and that driver has the title papers to the car, I suppose?
That's
correct.
Do
they check that?
The registration would necessarily include that car is properly titled in the name to whom it's registered. And that's all the state seeks, is a threshold determination of whether or not the driver of a particular vehicle is qualified and fit to occupy a 4,000-pound vehicle on our highways or in the states.
Does Delaware have a safety inspection law?
Delaware has a yearly inspection of the automobile, at which time it's run through a inspection point to test the brakes, safety, and the registration is signed, and a fee is paid, and a sticker is given the driver, and it's put on the license and the card, owner indicating the ownership of the vehicle is then stamped, which indicates that the proper insurance is on there.
Well, you don't stop him to see if he has a sticker.
No, the sticker is displayed on the license plate.
I should hope so.
This is only yearly.
That's only yearly, Your Honor.
Does Delaware have a policy of making random stops?
There is no set policy by any of the police departments in Delaware that I am aware of that requires any officers to conduct random stops. Random stops are frequently conducted, however, and have been conducted by the police department in the state of Delaware.
Apart from a state policy, is there any, does the record show whether this particular officer was working pursuant to any local policy, or is it just his own initiative?
The record clearly indicates it was his own initiative. At the particular time he stopped the automobile in which, or the vehicle in which Mr. Prowse was located in, he had a law on activity. He was not responding to any other crime scenes, and he saw the vehicle, and he decided to stop it for the license registration check. But he was acting on his own at that time.
And was the marijuana package in plain sight, or did he detect that first from the odor of the marijuana?
As soon as he walked up to the car, he never had the chance even to engage in the initial questioning before he smelled the marijuana. He smelled the marijuana, walked back to the patrol car, called for radio assistance, since his stop was going to be obviously longer than he anticipated, went back to the car, asked the driver and passengers to exit the vehicle, at which time the marijuana was seen in plain view, and a subsequent arrest of Mr. Prowse and a frisk of him found the marijuana, additional marijuana on his person. As I have indicated, that the Delaware law requires that every driver, except in very limited circumstances, be licensed. And to be licensed, it's the state's contention, that is the minimal standard and which has been set up by the legislature to determine who may drive a motor vehicle. Also, the legislature has set up a minimal standard that in order to drive an automobile vehicle so that the citizens of the state be protected, you have to have certain minimal levels of liability insurance. And it's the state's further contention that unless police officers are given the right to stop vehicles to determine whether or not a person is a licensed driver and whether or not that vehicle is properly registered with insurance, then that the enforcement of the state motor vehicle laws will become a mere nullity. And
I didn't think the issue here was whether or not the state could do this. The question was whether, having done it the manner it was done here, the marijuana seized could be used as evidence against the driver.
Well, I think it's
Isn't that the issue?
It's a combination of both.
You may be denied that without being denied any authority to stop.
That is
to traffic checks.
That is a possibility. However, as noted in the footnote of the Delaware Supreme Court opinion, that all sides are in basic agreement that the marijuana found in this case was in plain view. That actually there was articulable.
Well, I know, but I thought the issue really was whether or not. You lost the conviction of Mr. Prowse.
Yes.
On the ground that this evidence was illegally admitted, didn't you?
It was illegally seized. It never even got to trial.
And
that's correct.
What you want is that the conviction be reinstated.
We would like the...
But I don't see if you lose and there's an affirmance here, how that at all stops Delaware from making these stops.
Well, didn't the Delaware Supreme Court say the stop violated the...
Yes.
Fourth Amendment?
The Delaware Supreme Court explicitly held that the stop violated the Fourth Amendment.
So that the police officers could no longer just stop people because they've been told it violates the Fourth Amendment.
That is the effect of that holding, that we are no longer allowed to stop people unless there's articulable facts.
Well, I suggest that's not really what's involved.
Well, that's what the Supreme Court held, though.
I submit that the test that the Supreme Court applied is a wrong interpretation of what the requirement of the Fourth Amendment is.
Of course, you could, as Mr. Jessman suggests, carry out your policy, serve both the state's end and the end of the Fourth Amendment by saying that any evidence that comes from such a stop isn't admissible.
as to other crimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, but logically, no evidence even of not having a driver's license or not having a registration would be admissible either. If this is a Fourth Amendment violation, I don't see how you could carry out your policy.
It's the state's contention.
Try to find drivers without licenses and without registrations.
That's the state's contention. We cannot possibly enforce these unless we have that right.
You could cancel your license. If you get them off the road, you may not be able to condition.
Your Honor, it's the state's belief that if we are not able to stop absent articulable suspicion and that the Delaware Supreme Court ruling is affirmed, the meaning of that would basically be that any person without a driver's license, who has a suspended license, a revoked license, or no insurance, is being given notice that you may drive upon the roads of the state of Delaware unless you are unfortunate enough to either drive past the officer who previously arrested you or you violate some other rule of the road. And then we submit that it's possibly too late at that point, that the determination of who is fit and who is not fit is whether or not you possess that license, not whether or not you violate a law and then you're found not to possess a license.
Does Delaware pursue the practice also of setting up random checkpoints at which the license of every driver is checked?
No, it does not, Your Honor. Many
states do.
Some states do. It's my understanding. Of course, the Border Patrol searches are fine examples.
I'm not talking about border searches. I'm talking about
random
checkpoints that may vary from hour to hour, so long as you stop every car that comes along, say, for 20 minutes or for an hour. You slow up traffic temporarily. That's done routinely in my city of Richmond, Virginia.
It's the state's contention that the use of a roadblock type of procedure is much more than is required under the 14th Amendment.
But if you have a real problem, the chances of catching people who violate the license law would be much greater if you could stop 500 cars in 20 minutes than if you go around at total random picking up one here, there, and yonder.
Your Honor, I've never seen a roadblock or participated in one. However, I submit that that does not solve the basic problem. One, it inconveniences literally hundreds of people. Two, it necessarily makes police officers exercise random stops only at certain periods of time in certain localities pursuant to concerted plans or efforts, whereas police officers may be driving around doing their procedures and their routine patrols and may have laws, may have times when they really do not have anything else to do. It would require a greater effort. Additionally, in addition to the amount of inconvenience it causes every driver, I don't believe it necessarily is required. The application of the exclusionary rule to a case in which there has been no evidence whatsoever presented by the respondent of discrimination, the state submits, is not called for in this case. The only possible use of the roadblock type situation would be to minimize the conceivable possibility of discrimination so that everyone is treated equally. And it would be the state's contention that while that could possibly be the effect, on the other hand, you are inconveniencing literally hundreds of individuals to gain a benefit on the one hand. And
how can you say everybody is treated equally when it depends on which policeman you pass by?
In the random stop situation you're referring to?
In the situation in Delaware. It depends on whether the policeman wants to stop you or not. Now, that can apply to everybody. That applies to whoever is in the area of a policeman who feels like he ought to stop somebody.
That's correct, and there is...
Well, that isn't equal, or everybody. That's up to the whim of that policeman at that time. More than likely to whether he had bad coffee for breakfast or not. Isn't that true?
The state doesn't
believe
it.
And isn't that what
true.
You try to keep away from with police?
The state does not believe that that is true. There is,
well, for
this
example,
case,
the policeman said he knew the smell of marijuana. How did he happen to know that?
I believe he knew that from his prior experience, prior arrest.
Well, why do we have to have dogs specially trained to smell marijuana if there are police who can smell it?
The other answer to that is that the situations involving dogs involves suitcases, luggages, where it's not burned, and the animals are able to ascertain a smell that a human wouldn't be able to ascertain.
Mr. Oberle, you mentioned the hundreds of people would be inconvenienced by the suggestion Mr. Justice Powell made. Does the record tell us how often these random stops are made? Are there hundreds of people stopped, or is it, and if they're not, is this, how can you be sure this is more effective than the other way?
Referring to hundreds of people, I am referring to the possibility of a roadblock, which would just stop some thoroughfare and line cars up. I am presupposing it would stop hundreds. There are no statistics in Delaware of which I am aware as to how many random stops have been made each year.
This particular officer, we don't know how often he does it either.
He, as the record indicates in our petition for certiorari, he does it occasionally when he has a law.
What do you suppose that means? Maybe a couple of times a week or a couple of times a day?
Unfortunately, the record was never explored.
So if he does it, say, two or three times a week, is this really a very significant deterrent? Is he going to catch very many people?
Your Honor, if that individual does it two or three times a week, times the 400 police officers in the state.
But we don't know that they all do it. You told us there's no state policy or any local policy. This is one individual who happens to be out at an extra time, so he thought he'd stop somebody.
Yeah, that is correct, although I do know that it is done throughout the state, but I cannot give...
You're not in a position to tell us how often or how successful the program is, how many people they actually find without driver's license. You don't really have any information that tells us how wise this policy is.
No, there are no statistics, Captain Delaware, that I'm aware of on that.
Regulation, statewide regulation of the police department, which says that you're authorized to do this.
No, there is not any state authorized except the statement in the law, which the police are charged with the enforcement of all laws of the state, and the motor vehicle laws are laws.
But don't you have manuals that say if a guy is holding up a
bank, you arrest him and things like that?
No, we don't. Not
you
have
don't
manuals
have manual
to that
police?
Extent.
You don't have manual for police?
There are police training manuals which
is that in the training manual?
Not that I am aware of, Your Honor.
And you don't know of any statewide regulation which requires a police officer to do this?
No, I do not know of any.
This man was a state policeman?
No, he was a Newcastle County police officer.
And how many counties are there in Delaware? Three?
There is three counties. Newcastle County has its own separate police department of approximately 200 officers. There's the Delaware State Police, which covers the entire state, which has 400-plus officers.
What percentage of the population of Delaware is concentrated in Newcastle County?
Approximately 75%.
And, Is the Delaware Turnpike between Wilmington South to Newark and Stanton in Newcastle County?
The entire portion of that turnpike is in Newcastle County.
How many lanes are there each way on that?
There are three lanes in each direction.
My question, we understood each other, included all the police in Delaware, city, county, state.
Yes, I am not aware of any written policy in this area.
Tell me, does Delaware have one of these programs for checks of agricultural products?
The border type search for agricultural products like California?
Something like that.
No, I've been a lifelong resident of Delaware, and I do not know of any type of policy like California has and some of the western states have.
Yes. Trucks, no commercial vehicles automatically have to stop at when they come into the state.
No, there is only one weighing station that has just been implemented in the state of Delaware, but there is not a weighing process that's utilized for all states that are using our highways either. They are just simply stopped, again, same way our movie is a stop, to check whether or not the truck drivers have their correct papers, whether it's interstate commerce papers or not, and that's done on a random basis likewise. Against it, the state submits is a substantial interest in this case. The facts of this case are of crucial significance. It's submitted that the encroachment on the individual's liberty is minimal. The state is not asking for anything more than the right to simply check the license and registration. It's not asking it to be given the right to conduct flashlight searches and numerous other horribles that are paraded before the court in the respondent's brief. The intrusion is minimal at best, and the anxiety and the stigma that's been attached is submitted grossly overplayed. I don't believe that any of these citations used by the respondent support their argument. Certainly, the use of Brignone-Ponce in footnote 8 doesn't support their argument, and the reservation in Martinez Fuerte of this court in footnote 14 doesn't support the argument that this court has in any way laid down the rule to guide in these particular type cases. Lastly, it would be the state's contention that we would respectfully request that this court apply the use of the word reasonableness in interpreting what the Fourth Amendment requires in weighing the society's interest, the loss of life, the property damage of who is fit to drive and who can be insured, and weigh that against the minimal inconvenience of a driver who is stopped. And it's the state's contention that that would come down in the side of the state to exercise this type of activity. There has been no allegation of discrimination by the respondent. There are no facts other than supposition or hypothesis that this could be abused. Case law is clear that in situations where there is abuse, it can be shown. It was shown in the Highland case cited by the defendants where long-haired individuals were stopped. And no case of which the state is aware has the exclusionary rule ever been extended to a situation in which there has been no proof of illegal police conduct. And we would submit that that would be an erroneous extension of the exclusionary rule.
Mr. Oberle, I may be of no legal significance, but as I read the record, there was no conviction in this case, was there? Wasn't the trial judge grant the motion to suppress and the appeal taking the Supreme Court of Delaware before
correct.
Trial?
That's correct.
Mr. Lukoff?
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, the question presented in this argument is whether police officers may randomly stop motor vehicles for license and registration checks. I think we first have to look at the facts. Specifically, I would like to refer the Court to some additional facts. We do not disagree with the state's position, the facts stated in their appendix. However, there are some additional facts which I believe are important. First of all, this was a nighttime seizure. Secondly, the word random is very important. The Delaware Supreme Court used the word random. The Delaware Superior Court used that word. But I think we have to look at Officer Avina's answer to a question as to what random meant to him. He was asked by the prosecutor, was the stop in a random manner? That was essentially the question. His response was, I saw the car in the area, and I wasn't answering any complaints, so I decided to pull them off. If we define random in that way, we're using the word as meaning arbitrary.
Now, it's your position that anything that was found in the car following this stop may not be used in evidence in any criminal case. Is that right?
That is correct, Mr. Chief Justice.
Suppose instead of the prohibited drugs they had found in the trunk of the car, a human being bound and gagged who was being kidnapped. Couldn't prosecute the kidnapper for that offense then, on your theory and on the theory of the Supreme Court of Delaware?
Mr. Chief Justice, unless there were some facts that would help.
Take the same facts precisely, but instead of marijuana, it's a 14-year-old girl bound and gagged in the trunk of the car, but still alive.
The ultimate result of this rule would be that that could not be used.
Could not be used.
Mr. Lukoff, if just stopping to ask him for a driver's license, how would they find the man in the trunk?
Well, that, Mr. Justice Stevens, is the entire point. The state is asking here for the mere opportunity to seize the vehicle for a moment, as they state, for checking license and registration.
Let me add a factor. The victim, hearing some conversation, makes enough noise in the back of the trunk so that the suspicions of the policeman are excited and aroused.
There's obviously no question that they could assist the victim. That's the first
thing. Assist the victim, just save the victim, but not prosecute the kidnapper.
I think the ultimate result, Mr. Chief Justice, is that that is in fact the case. Because that evidence, because the seizure would be invalid.
Well, but having, let me extend that beyond. Instead of a live victim,
who could tap on the trunk of the car and get some attention. Policemen, having found some illegal, some contraband material, marijuana, heroin, guns, a bag full of currency in large amounts, then decides to search the entire car. And he finds a dead body in the back. On your theory, he can't be prosecuted for possession of a dead body if that's a crime in Delaware, or for the murder if he's...
Mr. Chief Justice, if I may, example in the kidnapping case, if I may go to that for a moment, of course, the victim could testify, and there would be evidence from that victim. The possession of the person,
that's
the person
being... moved to somebody who can't testify.
Who cannot testify. That was my understanding of your change.
Mr. Luke, do you understand the state of Delaware to be seeking to justify this practice on the basis that there's some probability, or at least a possibility, that by stopping cars they may find some dead bodies and guns and so forth?
Is that the justification for this practice? That is not their justification, as I see it.
I suppose if it was, you could stop people in high crime areas and say you have a gun and frisk them. And a lot of ways you can find evidence of crime if you don't have any limitation on the amount of stopping and searching you do.
That is, in fact, the case. The state is not asking, as I understand it, to have the authority to go beyond just the initial seizure. They're not attempting to search the vehicle or stop the vehicle in any manner looking for other evidence.
Suppose we return to my question now and complete your answer about the body in the back of the car.
Mr. Chief Justice, the difficulty, of course, is that that is not the direct state interest. I think it would follow as the most horrible situation, perhaps, that assuming that, in fact, the body is in the back of the car, that if the seizure is invalid, the seizure is unconstitutional, that it would therefore follow that evidence would be excluded. But that is not what the state's looking for nor asserting as an interest here. Their interest, they claim, is one of traffic safety, that the documents that are possessed by the individual in some way are going to assist them in that traffic safety. Yes, Mr. Justice Powell.
May I ask you a question? Does Delaware have game wardens?
It's my understanding, Mr. Justice Powell, that they have fish and game. They have an environmental protection officers, game wardens, similar, I believe they are.
Are you a hunter?
I am not, Mr. Justice Powell.
Well, perhaps you're not familiar with the practice of game wardens of making random stops to see whether the hunters have licenses and also to see whether or not they have game in their bag that's unauthorized to be killed at that time, or perhaps duck hunters have killed more than the limit.
I am not familiar with that procedure, although it would appear that if that is the case...
I can tell you personally it's the case.
I would
also true with federal game wardens. They sometimes use helicopters.
It would be respondent's position, Mr. Justice Powell, that there is a substantial interest, if nothing else, the protection of game, which this kind of seizure of the person who is licensed, a specific hunting license to carry a weapon, be it an antique weapon or a modern gun.
You're not suggesting protecting game is more important than protecting the public from unlicensed drivers, are you?
From unlicensed drivers? If it's merely a question of unlicensed drivers, I think that there perhaps is a greater protection, or at least the same protection. But from unsafe drivers, it's a different question. Unsafe drivers, we would submit, are a greater concern.
There are more drivers than there are hunters.
That is also true, Mr. Justice Marshall.
Like, with this package, you are driving, you are not a hunter.
You wouldn't think the conservation of game was more important than the control of marijuana and heroin and whatnot, would you?
They're at least equally important, Mr. Justice, Chief Justice. Another important factor that I believe was brought out by Mr. Justice Powell was that there are no regulations. If this is such an important interest to the state, why does not the state, through legislation or through the Attorney General's opinions or through police officers, Superior Police Officers guidelines set up regulations for these types of stops.
I thought you conceded that it was an important interest.
Mr. Justice Rehnquist, we did not concede that. We concede that traffic safety is an important interest, and that is the asserted interest that the state has presented here.
Well, and the state of Delaware has determined, apparently, that the way it will further that interest is by the policy of random stops that apparently everyone has agreed upon in discussing. That you describe it as arbitrary, the state describes it as random. Of when a police officer isn't called out on any other thing more major, he simply will stop a car at random without any reason to believe that the person doesn't have a license and without any articulable grounds for suspicion.
That is what the state's attempting to get.
Yeah, well, that's their policy. That's what Officer Avena did at any rate.
That is not, as I understand it, the state policy, Mr. Justice Marshall. Mr. Justice Rehnquist, I would refer specifically to a questioning of Officer Avena in the suppression hearing in which he was asked about whether there are departmental regulations, and he answered in the negative, none that he knew of. Whether there was an attorney general guideline, and he also answered in the negative. And I have reviewed the statutes, and there is nothing in the statutes which permit this.
Well, let's say it was the policy of this particular officer to do that. No one disagrees about that, do they?
Well, the disagreement is that he said he does it sometimes. I don't know if it's a full-blown policy, but the problem there, of course, is that leads to individual officers' whim. It's arbitrary. He can choose whoever he pleases.
Well, unless the Constitution forbids him from doing it, he's entitled to, I think.
Our position is that the Constitution, in fact, forbids him from doing that, the Fourth Amendment specifically.
Well, you would say the same thing if there was a written policy for every officer to make 10 stops a day.
That is true, Mr. Justice White.
Then the random problem has no relevance here, really, does it?
Mr. Chief Justice, the difficulty with randomness is how you test whether it is truly random. If there is some form of electronic device which picks every 10th car and a truly random matter, that may be random.
Can't you assume that a policeman can count up to 10?
We can assume that, but we can't assume that he
doesn't need an electronic device to stop every 10th car, does he?
He doesn't need that, Mr. Chief Justice, but the difficulty is that how do we check as to whether or not he in fact is doing that? Again, it's arbitrary. If all he says is, I stopped the 10th car. We don't know it wasn't the 11th or the 9th.
Well, your response to Mr. Justice White indicates that it wouldn't make any difference for your case and the position you're taking whether the state legislature had authorized the Attorney General to promulgate rules, guidelines, and he promulgated them and said the officers may do thus and so. You'd still make the same points.
Mr. Chief Justice, that presents a slightly different problem. There are different legal issues that may be involved. If the legislature has spoken, being the duly elected officials of the people, the question there is, again, there'd have to be some way to test the guidelines we submit.
I think your response to the Chief Justice certainly differs from, shows that you differ, at least from my understanding of constitutional law, that I would think that the action taken by the state here and represented by a state attorney represents the policy of the state, albeit you cannot argue that it is a uniformly applied policy, and that for the legislature to place its imprimatur on the policy doesn't make it any different from a constitutional point of view.
Well, Mr. Justice Rehnquist, the state has not taken it upon itself to give us any guidance. There's nothing in the record that can be shown or that I know of personally about the state of Delaware in which they have said this procedures can be followed. It is true the state has appealed this case, has brought writ of cert to this point, but that doesn't give it the sanction that the defense would submit as necessary.
Does the Supreme Court of Delaware have any authority to speak for the state of Delaware?
Yes, it does, Mr. Justice Marshall.
Well, it said, we rule that before the government may single out an automobile to stop it, there must exist specific facts justifying the intrusion. Conversely, a random stop in the absence of specific justifying facts is unreasonable and unconstitutional. That's the Supreme Court of the state of Delaware.
That's correct, Mr. Justice Martin. They've spoken to that issue.
Does that have as much authority as the designee of the Attorney General's office?
Being one of the...
Or the policeman?
Clearly as much authority, if not greater.
I don't understand.
Would you say that the Supreme Court of Delaware felt itself constrained by the federal constitution, or that it was simply ruling as a matter of state policy?
Mr. Justice Rehnquist, that was brought out in our brief in our third point, the question of whether there were adequate state grounds. We brought that out because we felt the court should be aware of that.
There's not a federal case on that page, not one. There's a Pennsylvania case, a New York case, a Nebraska case, a South Carolina case, but not one federal case.
The Supreme Court of Delaware did not refer to Brignone, did not refer to Martinez to support his opinion.
Well, what is the significance of the sentence? The Delaware Constitution, Article 1, Section 6, is substantially similar to the Fourth Amendment, and a violation of the latter is necessarily a violation of the former.
Mr. Justice Brennan, the significance is that there is an ambiguity in the Delaware opinion as to whether they're relying solely upon a federal question, or in fact they're also relying upon independent state grounds.
So are you suggesting that that's a decision, that this decision rests both on the Delaware Constitution and the Fourth Amendment?
It appears to rely upon both, but again, it's ambiguous.
And if it does rely on both?
If it does rely upon adequate and independent state grounds, then this court...
If it does rely on both, then it does rely on an adequate and independent state ground. Is that true?
That's the difficulty with the ambiguity. If it in fact relies upon those grounds, then this court, I would submit, would not have the jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. Because it could be possibly merely an advisory opinion this court could render.
It's clearly one constitution.
Mr. Lukoff, on the question that was raised before, your opponent says suggests that the test, ultimate test under the Fourth Amendment, is one of reasonableness. And in your view, is there any difference in the strength of the presumption of reasonableness of state action depending on whether the policy determinations have been made by a state legislature on the one hand or by an isolated police officer on the other?
There may be the presumption of legitimacy or a stronger case when the legislature has spoken, because the legislature, we assume, speaks for the people, and perhaps the people have accepted this kind of intrusion. But we don't know that in this case because Delaware has not spoken to this specific issue. However, it has spoken through statute specifically to the question of non-annual inspections of vehicles, in which we recited in our brief, Title 21, Section 2144, in which Delaware said, in essence, that a police officer may, upon reasonable cause, stop a vehicle for an inspection. Now that the legislature has spoken in that area, spoken about non-annual inspections. And that appears to be important to us because they've already made a decision specifically in that area, and the words reasonable cause can readily be interpreted as articulable facts.
Why didn't the Supreme Court of Delaware go off on that ground?
The question of safety, although raised, didn't come up quite as clearly, perhaps, as
the statute you're referring to is a safety inspection, not a driver's license or motor vehicle registration statute.
It's a safety inspection, but then the registration statute is also a safety inspection, Mr. Justice Francis. It is a safety inspection.
But anyway, the Supreme Court of Delaware didn't rely on that statute as saying the officer had exceeded his authority under the statute.
They did not rely upon that statute in reaching their opinion.
Did you file a response to the petition for certiorari?
Yes, we did, Mr. Justice Stewart.
I just didn't seem to have it here among my papers.
That's correct, Mr. Justice Stewart.
In that brief in opposition, did you
point out the possibility that this opinion of the Delaware Supreme Court may rest upon adequate and independent state ground?
Yes, we did.
You did.
I think there's a problem in the last paragraph, though.
I'm sorry, Mr. Justice.
The last paragraph of the Supreme Court of Delaware's opinion said specifically the 14th Amendment of the United States Constitution.
They did not speak of the state constitution in the last paragraph. That is
but
true.
They did mention the federal constitution.
They clearly mentioned the federal constitution.
Some people think the last paragraph of the opinion is the opinion.
They also, Mr. Justice Marshall, in the first paragraph, spoke about both a violation of the federal and state constitutional guarantees.
But
in the first paragraph of the opinion.
We hold that for, which...
I agree.
Okay.
What about the court's posing of the issue as being whether or not this stock violated the 4th and 14th Amendments? That's the specific issue.
Again, not referring to the state constitution.
On page 5 of the... And I suppose you would agree that if the reason... it violated the state constitution was that it violated the 4th Amendment.
The Delaware Supreme Court interpreted the state constitution as being essentially the same as the state constitutional provision as being essentially the same as the
4th. Why do you think they posed the legal issue as being whether the 4th and 14th Amendments were being violated?
I believe that may have been how the question was asked and it was referred to on briefs by both sides, and the issue was argued on a federal constitutional grounds below, even though the state constitution obviously has provisions which are comparable to the federal constitution. Beyond the nature of the intrusion we're talking about here, I think it's important that the court look at the nature of the intrusion. Here is a nighttime stop, 7:20 in the evening, November. The lights are used. There's clearly the anxiety, the concern, the fear, the similar kinds of anxiety and subjective intrusion that this court considered so important in Brignone.
Are you suggesting that if it had been high noon,
it would not
any
have...
day, it would be different?
Mr. Chief Justice, it wouldn't be different in the constitutional aspect.
Well, isn't that all we're talking about here, the constitutional aspect?
The nature of the reason I brought in the fact it was nighttime is because it shows that this type of arbitrary seizure can be accomplished at any time of the day or night.
Yes, well, one explanation would seem to be an obvious one, that at 12 midnight, a policeman probably has more time to make random stops than he does at high noon, and therefore might do it more often.
Mr. Chief Justice,
does it make any difference to your constitutional point?
It does not. It does not. It goes to the subjective nature of the intrusion to some extent. It's a factor. The individual's sudden appearance of the vehicle, the police vehicle with the lights and the siren, et cetera, this is the nature of the subjective intrusion, how it's affecting the individual who is being seized. The day or night is a factor, but not a constitutional factor in that sense. It goes to the nature of the intrusion itself.
Well, your whole argument, just like the state, is a little bit of an amalgam of everything, isn't it? I mean, you wouldn't want to subtract the nighttime element from your case any more than the state would want to subtract some of the elements from its case. So that's what the Fourth Amendment is all about, reasonableness.
Well, whether or not it was day or night will, in the balance, in the reasonableness balance, not, we submit, make a difference.
So you say then that the nighttime aspect thing simply doesn't make any difference.
It's one additional factor. It doesn't, in the ultimate testing, it's a factor in only that this stop was nighttime. It's a fact that was there. The court, I don't believe, could fashion a rule that said it's okay in the daytime but not at nighttime. We're not asking that. We're suggesting.
What if Officer Avena had testified that he made stops only between sunrise and sunset because he realized it was kind of a hairy experience for somebody to have the whirling red light pull up behind him at night? Would you think your case was any weaker?
No, Mr. Justice.
What is your position as to
Mr. Justice Powell's suggestion of random checkpoints out.
Mr. Justice Blackmun, the position of the defendant is that the random checkpoint stops, which the state of Delaware specifically did not reach in the lower opinion, are, as this court has held, less intrusive in terms of the both subjective and the objective intrusiveness. I believe that it was held in Martinez.
And so, what's your position? That's what I'm
Our asking. Position is that...
I know it's less intrusive.
It's less intrusive, but it raises other issues. It is, we believe, would be a one factor in deciding the nature of... the difficulty, of course, is that the random stop, excuse me, the roadblock point does eliminate some of the intrusiveness. Whether it is still constitutionally permissible makes a more difficult question, to say the least, because of the less intrusive nature. In the balancing test, it may sway the scales towards the validity of the stop. We're not in a position to say that it, in fact, does do that.
Isn't there a factor on the other side, though, there as to the reasonableness element, in that if you try to conduct a roadblock on the Delaware Turnpike when it's at a busy time, you're not just going to intrude the same amount on the people you actually stop. You're going to slow down and stop a whole bunch of people who you is and inconvenience them in a way that you don't if you followed the policy followed here.
That may be true, but again, the requirement, I think, if you use the roadblock type of, assuming the roadblock is a valid constitutional mechanism, if you use it, it would appear important, to say the least, that the state set up guidelines as to when it can be used and what time, so to lessen that kind of inconvenience that would perhaps come out of an I-95, the Delaware Turnpike rush hour problem. I think that kind of problem can be circumvented by setting up your roadblocks if you're going to use them and if that is a permissible.
So then if someone driving I-95 Delaware Turnpike during rush hour would feel confident that he, at least, would never be asked for his driver's license or his motor vehicle registration because the state couldn't set up a roadblock at that time.
Well, I'm not suggesting they can't, Mr. Justice Rehnquist, but I believe the factors of the time element's important in the decision as to whether a roadblock would be effective. And there may be a greater interest in lack of inconvenience to the generally lawfully motoring public than there would be gain from, in a safety manner, from stopping every vehicle.
Mr. Lukoff, I have a rather serious question to ask. The record, as I understand it, shows that Mr. Prowse was not the driver of the car. There were three passengers in the car, and the officer's testimony suggests he was not the driver. So I don't think under Rakes against Illinois he has standing to raise the federal constitutional issue. So isn't it necessary to dismiss the writ as improvidently granted?
Mr. Justice Stevens, the record is ambiguous. There is some question...
Didn't the officer testify, I don't believe he was the driver? It indicates here S1 arrested, this is page A12.
The officer did testify in that regard, but he wasn't clear totally. And a part of the difficulty, of course, is that it's clear from the record that Mr. Prowse was the registered owner of the vehicle, that he had a proprietary interest in the vehicle because of his ownership. I don't believe Rakes would apply in a standing aspect here because, if I recall Rakes, that type of, they didn't reach the decision as to whether the registered owner, or if they did, they spoke the registered owner had the proprietary interest. Rakes, as I understand it, spoke about the passengers who had no proprietary interest.
But the record shows he was the owner of the vehicle?
Yes, Mr. Justice Stevens. I'm looking at the state's appendix, referring to A10, and the answer is, I know the car was registered to him, but I don't know who was driving. So that develops both the ownership of his, but also the ambiguity as to who was driving as to that answer.
Yes.
Obviously, this whole case has a lot to do with police officers' discretion. And this court has, throughout its history, spoken about the concept of unfettered discretion in police officers and their ability to take actions without guidelines or controls. It's our position that the state interest asserted of safety is not, in fact, enhanced by these stops. It's further our position that a rule permitting these kind of stops would allow uncontrolled, unfettered discretion of the police officers to stop whomever they please. According to the Delaware Safety Council, 148,900,000 vehicles are on the roads today. The rule the state would have you determine is the ability of a police officer to stop any one of those vehicles at any time of the day or night without any cause on the pretext of checking licenses and registrations. That power is great. As is true in many instances, that power should not be abused. Absolute discretion, like absolute power, corrupts absolutely. Thank you.
Very well. Mr. Lecoq, do you have anything further, counsel?
Any comment the state would like to make is, again, the respondents relied on Brioni heavily, and I submit that this court in Brioni noted that it gave Border Patrol officers the right to stop cars for questioning before the enforcement of the immigration laws. And it used a test, basically articulable suspicion test. And the reason I submit, or the state submits, the court utilized that test was, in that opinion, it specifically states that there are objective criteria in which you can determine that articulable suspicion, such as somebody might use a car of a certain length. There might be Mexicans that have a haircut that you could tell. There may be people ducking down in the seat. There may be information that the Border Patrol agents have received that would give the articulable suspicion to stop. And the difference between those cases and this case is there is absolutely no indicia or criteria that a police officer can look at and say, that person doesn't have insurance. That person doesn't have a license. And lacking that, if the state's motor vehicle laws are to be enforced, they have to be given that right. Unless there's a showing of abuse, which can be dealt with, unless there's a showing of a pretext, and there was none here, then it's not proper for the court to extend the exclusionary rule just on a hypothetical situation that does not exist.
Mr. Overly, would you comment on the suggestion that this decision may rest on the Delaware Constitution as well as the federal Constitution?
As I read the Delaware Supreme Court opinion, it simply said our Article 1, Section 6 is like the federal. We will interpret the federal Constitution. If the federal Constitution would require certain tests, we will go along with that. And it's very clear.
Well, I know, but that it didn't. I don't read it as saying, or do you, that we are compelled by the interpretations of the Fourth Amendment similarly to interpret the Delaware Constitution?
I don't know whether they read it as they were compelled to, but it's my clear reading that opinion that they did not consider the state constitution separately and independently. They took this solely on the Fourth Amendment as applied to the states through the 14th Amendment.
I wonder if it's the kind of case, we've had several of them, where we remanded to the state Supreme Court to tell us whether they did or didn't rest on the state constitution. Suppose that might be appropriate here?
I don't believe it necessarily would be appropriate. I think the Supreme Court has very clearly indicated that they interpret this as a Fourth Amendment case, but I imagine that's a possibility.
Thank you, gentlemen. The case is submitted.